Yeah, the Ivagus Fault Gadi on Clard and Law Nook, this Misha Ivan O'Merla, Agus Tommy Dunshaw, Agadi, a Hocta Clog in Nook. Yeah, you're welcome along to Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hurley with you until 8 o'clock this evening. We've once again got an action packed evening of sporting review and chat for you between now and then. Of course, Kerry Mayo taking the top billing this weekend as Kerry, a fine win for the senior men's footballers who sets them up nicely for a big tilt away to Armagh next weekend. We'll also be chatting a bit about the McCarthy Insurance Group County Senior Football Leagues. They got underway the weekend as well. And of course, the CVS The Green heading to Croke Park tomorrow for a big Hogan Cup final. So plenty on the footballing front to talk to. And then we'll be chatting a bit about the replay as well. We'll have Dern Nimar Hurtig, of course, Micheál's daughter, Dr. Richard Roach, Jack O'Shea, of course, Kerry Great, and Siobhan Doyle as well, the author of a GA book, and this all to do with Alzheimer's and dementia, and really important that people suffering from both Alzheimer's and dementia are able to listen back to memories that provoke moments that maybe provoke good memories, and it's scientifically proven to have worked really well in the last while. That got launched in Croke Park last week, so we'll be chatting a bit about that later on in the programme as well. As ever, you can get in touch with the programme at 083 300 3300. You can text or WhatsApp us on that number, or you can give a call to 066 712 3666. Neva, take your calls this evening, and of course you can email terracetalk at radiokerry.ie. But first, John Kennedy and Liam Broston with us in studio here. I suppose the footballing community or the GA community in Kerry was rocked on Friday when we learned of the passing of Ollie Favier in Killarney, of course. Really heartbreaking to hear he had passed away. Fantastic to see again the GA community roll in behind the family. Of course, very, very difficult time for everybody associated with the family. And we got call today from Aglan Fest GA, just if we could give it a mention tonight, that a huge crowd expected at the funeral at the family home tomorrow. So there's a park and ride system in place from Kennedy's Pet Farm, the Kerryway Bar, Aglan Fest GA Club. Shuttle buses will operate from each of those three areas to bring people to the house to sympathise and back to the car park continuously from 4 to 8. Just goes to show what a fantastic little county we have down here in Kerry. The Lochtan Road to the house will be closed to traffic, so they're advising no one can drive from the Glenfesk National School side. Only the shuttle buses will be let through and not to park on the road there as well. Of course, a busy part of the county as well. So that's the arrangements tomorrow evening. Liam, I thought we were kind of chatting over the weekend, and lovely observed minute silence as well at the game on Saturday. But it's a sad one, and you know, he was a man that he wore the Kerry jersey underage as well. But just a really good GA man. You saw that, you know, the businesses were sponsoring East Kerry, and just really involved in the community as well, wasn't he?
He was, Ivan. And I suppose, look, there was great excitement around Killarney this morning with Jesse Buckley, but at the same time, there is a dark cloud around East Kerry, Glenfesk, and especially around the Killarney area as well, with the news that when it broke about poor old Ollie, you know, a son, brother, husband, you know, a father and a friend to many. And you know, Ivan, a damn good footballer in his day as well. Mm-hmm. You know, he was himself and his brother there for in the late 90s, the early noughties. You know, they were probably the linchpins of the Glenfesk backline. No, Ollie was always, no, I marked him a few times myself, and you got nothing easy from him. No, you know, a fantastic supporter, not only of football, but I've seen a lot of things wrote about him, you know, of all sports. No, and he was always the guy, no matter where you met him, had a smile on his face, you know, and you know, he'll be sadly missed, and especially around the you know, around the Glenfesk, and I said, like I said, East Kerry as well, because he was a fantastic supporter of him.
Yeah, and that's important, John, isn't it? You remember, like, you know, someone who gave so much to the club and to football and everything else, but then, you know, to see him go in kind of behind East Kerry and everything else, he was one to give back to, you know, the younger generation coming through as well, or the next generation.
Yeah, that's right, Ivan. He was part of that great Glenfesk team, and you know, like Liam said there, smiling his face, and you know, whether he was a good friend of yours or just knew you casually, there was always a word. And, you know, he a great GA man, but a great supporter. And, you know, I suppose it puts things in perspective, Ivan. We've said this several times before. Every community in the county have suffered. And, you know, when a young person goes, it makes a fierce dint on the community. But it's then, I suppose, that that sporting community, whatever sport it may be, this time it's GA and it's Glenfleth, and, you know, what they've put in place for it. And and I think Ollie deserves that. And, you know, all we can say is that to his family, the immediate family, extended family, to the GA family in Glenfleth and East Kerry, it's everybody is feeling for them at this point in time, because a man gone too young. But look, all we can do is pass on our condolences to everybody, and may he rest in peace.
Yeah, well said, John. Yeah, condolences to all the family and friends as well. And glad to be able, I suppose, that we can let people know about those arrangements with the buses and everything. Just goes to show the community sort of element that we have in this country, especially around funerals as well, that everyone does come together in times of need. Lads, we'll go to the football now, and I suppose, look, Kerry and Mayo, round six of the Allianz Football League. It was billed as kind of second against third coming into it, a 16-point winning margin for Kerry, Liam. Real job done, exhibition stuff really at times, and potentially could have been more than 16 points as well.
It was, Ivan. Look, we were all looking forward to this match, because I suppose Mayo were kind of, we thought were playing well, and, you know, there was a lot of talk about Kobe and a lot of guys, but Jesus, Kerry really went out and banished that. So, no, by the end of the 17 minutes. But it was a performance very much like the Monaghan performance the weeks before. You know, experienced, you know, workmen. You know, what I liked about it was our ambition about going forward, and I think that's what we're doing very well at the moment. Is when we move the ball at speed, they're in the team in the country that can stay up with us, and I think we proved that the weekend. You know, the long kick, you know, some of the course scores that we kicked, that if we can get, and I suppose, look, we've said it here several times, the new rules, if we can move the ball lively with the players that we have, the new rules suit us down to the ground, and we definitely showed that Saturday night. You know, was it conditions wise was nearly, John, I suppose, a perfect night for football. There was a bit of a breeze, alright, not too bad. It helped with the few 2-pointers, alright, we kicked 6 2-pointers, you know. So I think Jack and the management team are very happy with the performance, and it kind of puts Mayo back a small bit as well, probably dinting Mayo's kind of title hopes a small bit. But the Kerry wave is going well at the moment.
Yeah, John, it kind of came the weekend as sort of it was a big billing, as I said, it was second against third, St. Patrick's weekend, your kind of Saturday game in Tralee, okay, not under the lights, fair enough, but kind of a Saturday mid-afternoon game, again, second, third, it had all that kind of coming forward, but it was Kerry that showed up and not Mayo on this occasion.
Oh, it was, Ivan, and you know, we've said it during the week, Liam and myself, this was going to be a test for Kerry, because, you know, Mayo were going really well. Different under Andy Moran, and you know, arrived in Tralee on Saturday afternoon, huge crowd around, herself and myself were going into the match, there was a real buzz. We were over on the terrace, and then the news came through the PA that Kobe was starting. There was a buzz in the Kerry supporters. Yeah. You know, this is going to be a real test, and they were on about, will he be on Jason and who will be on him and all this, but started very well, Ivan, but look, they lost their way. They were 9-4 up, and Kerry got 8 unanswered points. And the football Kerry played from maybe the 20th minute on, it was absolutely exhibition stuff. And I think it was if you were to pick out anybody that got stuck in and really took the game by the scruff of the neck when things weren't going well in that opening quarter, Paul Murphy, cornerback. His battle with Boland was unbelievable, but he got the fist to the ball, he got the hand to the ball along with Jason, and they were in totally on top, even when Mayo were going well. And I suppose you'd have to say as well, the double save by Shane Murphy from Kobe, you know, he went for a goal, Murphy saved it, he bounced back up and saved the second shot, and I think that was a pivotal point in the game, because Kerry actually came from that, Liam,
that
didn't
was in
they?
29 minutes, 29 yeah. Minutes.
Yeah, it was a real kind of moment in the game that, you know, kept Kerry right up there. is it a case of Kerry were very, very good, were Mayo very, very poor, or was it just on the day, it just didn't go Mayo's way?
I think, Ivan, we made Mayo look poor, to be honest. Defensively, like John said, we laid down the law from the minute the ball was thrown in. Oh, Paul Murphy, Jason Foley, Dylan Casey, and that's going with the last couple of games. Now, these guys are you know, there's balls kicked into the full forward line, and we said the full forward lines now in most teams are their dangerous lines, but our full back lines seem to get a hand, they get a leg, they're getting something, and it's kind of demoralising for the opposition when that happens, because you're expecting the forward to win it, but instead a defender's coming away with it, or he's breaking it to a half back that's coming back to pick up the break, and Kerry are very good at that at the moment. Around the middle of the field, like Mark O'Shea didn't start, a bit of a hamstring injury, but Killian Trent fitted in there seamlessly as well. Sean O'Brien, good to see him back. These guys around the middle of the field, they're getting minutes under their belt, and they aren't doing too much wrong, to be fair. And another guy I was highly impressed with again the weekend, and he's definitely, as I say, adding to his stock, is Keith Evans. Buzzing around the place, he's that type of an elusive player. He glides through players, he glides past players, and he works very hard along with Shawnee O'Shea. They could be back at your full back line, and next all of a sudden they're both kicking points. There's a lot to chew on, Ivan, for Kerry at the moment, because things, when you look at our squad and look at the guys that we're missing, there's 9 guys there. I have a list made here, your goalkeeper Shane Ryan, Gavin White, Brian Begley, Mark O'Shea, Damon O'Connor, Paul Ganey, Tony Brassen, and Evan Looney. They are to fit into this 26 that were tagged out the last day. So the Kerry management will have some fun.
There'll be a few headaches, all right, won't there, coming into the championship and the next couple of games as well. Mayo kind of established themselves, John, early in the first half. I think we were chatting outside, it was 9-4, I think. And I think it was a 7 or 8 thing Kerry scored unanswered from that kind of turning point. Mayo had the breeze, and it sort of looked like, were we going to be talking about how much of a wind was there compared to the Galway game a couple of weeks ago as well. At 9-4, that was a good chance for Mayo maybe to push on another couple of scores. I think with 3 of those were 2-pointers, but a chance maybe for them to push on, they just didn't take it.
Yeah, they did. They started well, Ivan. Jack Carney, Ryan O'Donoghue, Jordan Flynn kicked 3 2-pointers. They were playing with a bit of a swagger. They were in control. They were winning the breaks. Shane had a great, had a fantastic game, Shane Murphy. But there was one or two kickouts early that we lost. We had the breach for the guy getting possession inside the arc. Those things were happening. But all of a sudden, when you'd expect Mayo, who were 5 points up, then we took it on. And people would say after that Mayo were poor, but I'd agree with Liam. I think we made them look poor. The football we played, the way we adapted to the conditions, the way we can change the game, we can vary our play, we can go short, we can hold possession, then we can go long. It's some of the kick passing we had the last day was top drawer stuff. There was one in particular, a long ball in. David went up in the close, brought it down, gave it to Joe Connor, went through and kicked it over. So simple, but so effective. And Dylan Ganey inside in the corner, back after a great campaign with Dingle, 2-3, took his goals. Some people would say it was 1-1, but you have to put them away. The great players make it look easy. Whereas, he didn't make a hero out of the goalie, took the chances, and I agree with Liam, Keith Evans, growing with confidence. And if there's anything to be learned from Keith Evans is that, he was in the panel, didn't get a chance for maybe last year, only bits and pieces. But look, he's taken his chances in this league campaign really well. And he's in the mix now and playing with confidence. And when you see guys looking for him, it shows that they know he's a guy on top of his game. But we're in a very good position. Mayo came down as a very good team. They went away with a lot of headaches because they met, arguably the best team in the country at this point in time.
Yeah, they kind of came down. I'd say with that sort of mindset, all right, that it was kind of a second against third and a win here. We're pretty much in a league final. 13-10 at halftime, Liam, and to be fair, as I said, kind of 9-4 to 13-10 in that quick turnaround against the wind, pretty much at halftime it looked like this thing was going to be done and dusted and the potential for 2 points and everything else, and that is exactly what we saw in the second half.
You could, especially with the bit of a breeze that was there, Shawnee and David were probably going to be looking for that 2-pointer kick and which they did. But to be fair, look, Kerry always looked dangerous, even in the first half. No, and I think that's a thing we have in our game as well, that our half backs and even Jason Foley at times, the way we come up the field is at pace. No, and I was watching the Kerry management at times, and they were telling him, speed it up, and it's good to see that. I was watching the sideline. No, they want the ball to be moved quickly and get up the field, and you can see that's working well from, you know, Ty Morley at number 6 as well, like we said last time we were here, John. No, he's a guy that's, you know, he's slim, he looks like a guy that really wants to give this year a good go at centre back. Good to see Mike Breen back then again, Tomás Kennedy back from injury, so, you know, Tom Leo got his game again, Liam Smith came on in the middle of the field. Michal Burns came on for the 15 minutes, and he caught two massive kicks in the middle, a little bit like a midfielder. You know, so when things are going well, and when you have David and Shawnee playing the way they're playing, everything lifts around them. You know, and you could see that, like David 8 points. You know, the two goals that Dylan got, and we ran about Dylan there. You know, a good corner forward. If you're cute enough now, Shawnee and David will create so much attention that you're there to finish, and yeah. you just finish. And to be fair, Dylan did that.
Yeah, just on Dylan, John, I mean, 2-3, we said not long back in from Dingle, a long, long year for all them as well, and now back in league games, come in like that and score 2-3. You're doing yourself every justice for your jersey, even just have to come in back in.
Yeah, he's Dylan is a noted scorer, and, you know, he's in the right place at the right time. He's fitted in really well. He's bang on form, and he's, you know, he's in a forward line now that are getting, we said it here before, the rules suit Kerry. They suit the footballing teams, and we are one of those teams. Space, fast ball in, ability to take on your man, and the confidence to do it. And certainly he's on top of his game at the moment. And, you know, Shawnee and David, 19 points between them. And I suppose one of the highlights, and there was many highlights in the second half, was Shawnee's 2-pointer off the ground.
Yeah.
I mean, that was absolutely class. Several people tried that at different times, but few succeed. Yeah. That was a super score.
Score of the season.
But even David's 2-pointer, if you watched it back, like he was well outside the 2-pointer, over underneath the stand.
When
he kicked that one. That was a massive.
That was a
kick
massive
as well.
Kick, yeah.
You know, to have players of that ability that can do that. No, it's fantastic.
Yeah, watching the highlights back, the commentators on the television, Tim and Ambrose, now were fairly excited about it, but it was like they hadn't seen them kick it off the ground. It's a savage skill, lads, and I know it kind of worked with the wind and everything else as well, but to get a rolling ball out to you 40 odd yards out from goal and to lash it over the way he did and just made it look so normal, I think it'll definitely go down as one of the scores of the year.
Definitely, Ivan. Look, they're elite players. No, so that's what you're putting the likes of David and Shawnee and these fellas up in that category. No, I said there's much they can't do with the ball. And I read today somewhere that, you know, that's something that he wouldn't have tried. That's probably something that you probably would try at training. You know, some fella might roll you a ball and you might just draw a kick at it. The wind was at his back as well. It wasn't that he was just kicking it for the sake of it. He knew what he was doing.
Oh yeah, he was clearing his lines.
He could see a body coming in from his right hand side as well. You know, so it was a sweet. He connected sweetly with it.
Chelsea or Liverpool could do with him, John. I'd say
that's for sure. A lot of teams could do with him.
Yeah, if he could have that accuracy. You can't kick it over the bar in soccer, but you'd have the accuracy. Lads, we have to go to a quick break. We have plenty more reaction from the weekend's games and everything else. Plenty of your comments coming in as well. 083 300 3300 on text or WhatsApp, or you can call 066 712 3666.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry,
sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, proud to support the heart of Kerry sport.
Now, so you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hurley with you until 8 o'clock this evening. Of course, plenty of your comments coming through to us this evening. Great to see Kerry's game evolving, especially with the likes of Keith Evans and Killian Trent making huge contributions. It's early days yet, but it's still encouraging to see that we have added so many strings to our bow since last year, considering we didn't have Paddy on the field and still have Gavin White, Bruno Bugley, Shane Ryan, Paul Gainey and more to come back. It's looking very promising. And that's from Liam in Ballyhaig. From Liam in Ballyhaig to Liam from Coro, it's a good point. You made it about the lads coming in as well, but looking promising at this stage of the year, you know, it is great because oftentimes you could struggle through leagues. Remember this time last year, going to this round, we could have been relegated. We ended up getting to the final. It was just that close. But looking the way we are at this stage of the year, there's no harm in it, is there?
There's not one bit, because if you look at it, it's the panel that are doing it. No, it's the Armin Heinrichs, it's the Tadhg Morley, Keith Evans, Graham Sullivan. These guys are really pushing themselves. And they're all trying to hold on to their jersey. And if we think back, and we said it here 2 weeks ago, that all the interviews we're listening to, and you pick up from them, is that what are Kerry going to do different? And it's all about building the squad. And the A versus B matches behind in Corners or inside in Killarney, that everyone's pushing each other. And you could see that's happening, because I don't think you could tell these boys take the leg off the accelerator, because they don't want to. Like I said, Dylan Casey, Shane Murphy in goals. No, they want to improve.
They don't want to hand their jersey over to anyone either.
Exactly, yeah. So I think we're in a very good position. I know you could say, are we peaking too early? But I don't think we are, because the likes of David and Shawnee, they can go up a couple of more levels as well, which is frightening. No, when you have the likes of Paddy. If we can get in the past few weeks, if we can get all our big guys injury free, it's going to take a very good team to beat us, because all the guys that are filling in around them, they're damn good footballers as well.
Yeah. Kerry are well out of machine, John, aren't they?
Yeah, moving very well, Ivan. Levels of fitness good, very sharp. And, I'd agree with Liam there. And I think Killian Trent is another guy. He's a box to box player, playing very clever football, but showing a great level of fitness, not going into cul-de-sacs, not giving the ball away. Very effective, along with Sean O'Brien the last day. That has to be good for him as well. And Mark O'Shea was out, Dermot O'Connor still to come back in. It's you'll call it nearly an embarrassment of riches at the moment, and long may it continue. But that's, you look at their six forwards that we lined out the last day. Paddy will obviously come into that. Paul Gainey will be back. Like, whoever lose out will be very unlucky. They're all going really well. And Joe Connors has taken up from where he left off there a few weeks back, just to get into the groove. And, there's one challenge the last day. Joe overturned the ball. I think it was Ryan O'Dunhur, someone came in front of him. He just brushed past him. And the crowd lift to that. But the physical power of them now, you can see how physically they have developed over the last 2 or 3 years, Liam, I think.
Yeah.
The gym work and the strength and conditioning is paying off. And but I'd agree with Liam, the injuries are the one, because it's when you have the options to come off the bench, you have that strength and depth, it's great, but you need your main men, and we'll need the parties back in all these, to later on in the year, because the structure of the system, the intensity of the games, injuries, they will take a toll, and it depending on when you get them, you could be out for a lot of the championship.
Championship, yeah. And I think, Liam, we've kind of, it's nearly a broken record at this stage, but, we do harp back to the Meath game last year and the panel and having kind of the extended panel coming through and everything else. That's where these games, again, and I kind of feel like I'm saying this every week, but every week we're being proven right in that kind of, without, some lads more to come back. Though these are all those games where, you get to wear the Kerry jersey, you're out in a packed Austin Stack Park, big, high stakes game and everything else. That'll stand to these lads come to the championship, and should, six or eight, touch wood, it doesn't happen, but should it happen, again, like we saw last year, again, the shorter season, you've got fellas who've, you can trust and rely on it to come into the 26, and again, training games must be fairly competitive, I'd imagine.
Yeah, and I think that Meath game, when you think back to it, I think it has changed Kerry football and the way Kerry supporters think as well, because normally we always go with the tried and tested. But last year we kind of had to throw the handle after the hatchet. We had to go into the depth of our panel, and it proved that all these guys, when given a chance, they can all play football. And I think this year, since the McGrath Cup and the early league matches, a lot of guys have got their chance to get a Kerry jersey, and we've seen what they can do. It's like a broken record. The Armin Heinrichs, the Keith Evanses, and all these guys. They want to hold on to their jerseys. And I think that's why we're hearing this about this big, have the big squad and stuff like that. Because if, God forbid, we do have injuries, it's very easy to turn around and not be scratching our head to say who you're going to bring on, because the guys behind you are able to do it. And I think we have a squad like that now. Going back to Dublin for years, John, they had the same thing as well. You know, they were to bring, it was just rotation, they were bringing guys on. Now, we are going to pick up injuries, but do we have the guys in the bench that can fill in? And we do it. At the moment, the way we're building, we do have.
But I suppose, Liam, it's like seven in the apprenticeship at the moment. You know, speaking to fellas at half time the last day, like, you know, the new guys that have come in, we'll say, and cemented their place on the panel. It's not. It's so difficult to go from club football into play inter-county and to compete. So you have to build up fitness. Mm-hmm. You have to build up strength and conditioning. You have to adapt to the pace of the game. Mm-hmm. And these guys have served their time in a way to be in there in the 15v15 games, marking the best in the country, and now they're up to that level. And they're certainly competing now, and that augurs well going forward.
Yeah, no, absolutely, it is great to see. Back to a couple of your comments from the text and WhatsApp. 0833 300 3300. Ivan, can you wish Nick Lacey and all his teammates in CBS3 all the very best in Croke Park tomorrow? That's from Trisha, Brian and Caleb, and Circa and all his other cousins as well in Dingle. Yeah, we'll be getting to the lads heading to Croke Park. Presumed they're after heading up already. They might have the night away. We wish them all the best, and we'll be chatting to them as well hopefully next week if they land home with the Hogan Cup. We'll be chatting to the lads here to preview that game a little later on. Hi, Ivan, can you ask the lads, why is Sean O'Shea being named as captain? Dingle nominated Paul Ganey as captain in his absence. Surely the armband should automatically be given to Tom O'Sullivan or Dylan Ganey?
I think that's up to the Kerry management.
At this stage of the year.
Think I read some during the week that if the captain is out, the management have a choice. Vice captain.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's it. No, yeah. That's unconfirmed.
Because Tyke Morley was captain as well for a couple of games as well, don't know, so they have,
Nice, probably shared around as well and have the option. But I agree, Kerry captain nominated by the winning club. I suppose technically by the rule that we know, it should be one of the other Dingle lads, you'd imagine. But if that's the rule, if the captain's out and it's somebody else on the panel. So hopefully that answers your question. That's from what we think anyway. That was probably the most complete league performance in years. The scoring ratio to shots was frightening. Only one wide and one drop short. The composure in play, getting the best shooters on the ball, as well as shot selection, has done his paw prints all over it. Complete opposite to Mayo's forward play, the vision and passing execution by Shawnee Graham and Tom Sullivan was exceptional. Funny how everyone mentioned Shawnee and David, but Dylan scored 2-3 and stays under the radar. I noticed too, Tom O'Sullivan and Graham interchanged a lot. This could be a valuable option down the line. That's from Tom in North Kerry. Lovely comment there, a lot to pick out from that one. We'll start, I suppose, with the kind of scoring ratio, Liam, yesterday. I did see that in social media. I think officially by stats, I think it was 25 out of 26 or something like that, but maybe one wide and one drop short. Incredible, given kind of the wind that was there in that first half, that you were that accurate as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, 229 is fantastic kicking. But it just shows, like, come towards championship when the sun is shining, the grounds are going to start hardening up. Mm-hmm. No, the new rules, and it just suits a footballing team down to the ground. Mm-hmm. Now, and I know that, you know, people will be saying about David Clifford, teams will be trying to mark him, stuff like that. It's very hard now the way the rules are set up, you know, to close down a fella. And Donegal tried it last year and they saw what happened in Ireland in the final when you try to double team one fella. Armagh did it in the semi-final, they tried to double team. Shawnee stood up to the plate. Pardy last year got 77 of the touches in the whole match. They never marked him because they were too worried about everybody else. Mm-hmm. No, so when you have players that can step up to the plate like that, it makes it very easy. But I do think with the new rules, it suits, and we said it here, John, the minute the new rules are brought in, it suits the Kerry footballer.
Yes.
It's all about kicking, it's all about scoring, it's all about defending. No, and there's no more getting 15 men behind the ball and marking space and all this kind of crack. It's beat your own man now. That's what it is. Beat your own man and kick scores.
Kick from range as well. Yeah. Nice one about shot selection down to Kieran Donnelly. And I suppose, John, he's one man we haven't really spoken about yet, and the influence he can kind of have on the team. But evidently enough, there's something clicking that we are taking on, you know, the right opportunities for scores. And it was particularly evident on Saturday again with that sort of ratio. We weren't kicking kind of stupid wides from the sidelines or anything like that. We were kind of, when we thought we could score, we took it on and we did score. Do we have a lot to look at Donaghy and his style of play years ago to come back on that one as well?
Yeah, I think so, Ivan. He's a forward. Look, he's played at that level. He's been one of the best in the forward position for Kerry and indeed throughout the country. We said it here, I think, when the news broke that Jack had brought him on board, a very shrewd move. This guy is highly rated. He's a player's man as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can see it. He's involved in the sideline. And, you know, if someone like Kieran Donaghy says something to you as a player, you listen. Because he's been there and done that. It's no coincidence. You know, I think that every management team is made up of coordinates and everybody has a part to play. I think that's the way it is with Kerry. We saw them the last day going up to the press box. They're a professional outfit. There's nothing left to chance. Mm-hmm. And you can see Jack is probably taking more of a role as the management, managing the people he has with him. Taking a step back, shrewd, he's been there, he's done it. And, you know, he's far more relaxed looking at him from the sideline. And you can see Keane O'Neill. They're confident and they're happy in the roles they're in. And the team are responding. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one into the goalie, one wide, you won't get days like that all the time. But it just goes to show the composure we have, the shot selection, the heads-up football we're playing is coming from the training field.
Yeah. But everyone, Ivan, is on about our forwards and how well. But I think it's defensively we've been outstanding.
Yeah.
No, the amount of balls we've turned over, the amount of balls we're getting in front of the forwards with the likes of Armin, you know, even Tom, Paul, Jason, and they're bouncing up the field. And Dylan, no, you're going to score in when you can stop the opposition the way we've been cutting out. Like everyone was on about Kobe and all these guys the weekend, but the Kerry defence just closed them down.
But I'd say it's a nightmare to be full forward, on the full forward line, in the opposition, with Paul Murphy, Jason Foley and Dylan Casey. They're playing front football. They're not waiting for you to get it.
No.
They're attacking the ball. There's no such thing as taking the man. They're attacking the ball, hand in, gone. And the minute they get a chance, they're gone supporting on the shoulder.
Yeah.
And, they're playing on the edge and they know then that if they make a chance, there's somebody covering for them if they make a mistake. They're very impressive. I'd agree with Liam. And then Tadhg Marley is playing the best football he's had over the last number of years. He's holding number six. We said here a few times that, you know, the centre was open in some games. It's certainly closed now. Mm-hmm. And mentioning Tom O'Sullivan, the pint he kicked the last day, judging the wind, Shawnee Shades is in the second half.
Yeah.
But what a beauty by Tom with the left leg. We've come accustomed to it. Yeah. No more than Davis in the
last. Yeah. But what he did for that one was he beat his man. Yep. He actually was face to face, but then he just went by him like a half forward should be doing.
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
Beat your man, get into the space, either kick it over the bar or create the opportunities. And we're doing that very well up front.
I think, was it normalising brilliance we used last week? Now, we haven't even hardly mentioned David Clifford today. We mentioned the 2-pointer, 8 points again from him yesterday. But it is great to see. And again, John, the spread of scores again, we talked about this earlier on. In the campaign as well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different scores for Kerry yesterday. Ambrose was saying in commentary as well that spread of score is important, because as we said this again, and I feel like this league campaign has been so kind of positive, we've kind of repeated ourselves a couple of times, but getting that kind of score, getting the fist pump, the cheer from the crowd, that really drives these fellas on, especially the players who are kind of tagging off for their first year in the Kerry jersey as well.
Absolutely, and Kerry supporters, they respond to what's happening on the field, and in turn the players respond to what's coming from the terrace and the stand. But all six forwards scored from play the last night. That's brilliant. You know, Sean O'Brien got a point from the middle of the field. Tom, and then Mike Breen coming on scored also. Like, it's brilliant to see it. But I think it's the overall approach play. And, like, you know, as I said, Mayo are a decent side. They were going well. A lot of young fellas in there, and a lot of confidence with Andy Moran. We were looking down at him in the second half, Liam, the last day. There was disbelief in the man, you know, because he
was looking for the hole in the wire, John.
We
were looking for that a few times, Liam. But he came down and he was quoted during, he was saying, it's a free shot for Mayo. I'd say going back in the bus, he was wondering, like, they didn't do an awful lot wrong. They weren't allowed.
Yeah.
And Kerry were on top, and they really punished the last night. And some of the scores, they were just, you know, there was gasps from the crowd when they saw it. Incredible kicking. Great, great. And that's what, you know, we know the footballers we have. That's why Kerry supporters can be critical because when they don't perform, or when they maybe play this slow type of a build-up of a game, you know, there can be a bit of negativity from the supporters. But when we play heads-up football, when we move the ball fast, and of course you have to mix it, you have to slow it down, you have to recycle as well, but we have the forwards to score, and, you know, when they get ball in space, they're so difficult to mark.
Yeah, funny you said that about the supporters here. I have a good one for you here, John. Hello, lads. Who will captain Kerry to a 3 in a row in 2027 is how the match starts. But in jest, thought the atmosphere on the terrace was great Saturday, reflecting on a proper performance on the pitch. But this Yarra, 'twas no contest, poor game is now a common view around since the weekend. Can a section of our fan base just live in the moment and enjoy the journey this squad of players are on? Kiri Abu. I'll answer that one myself and say if Kerry were to win every game by a point and win an All-Ireland that way, it wouldn't bother me in the slightest. It is great to see the, like, look, I can say it was no contest, there was a poor game. I personally enjoyed it. Maybe that's just me, or I hope a lot of other Kerry people could, because we can enjoy these performances now, Liam, can't we? Because there's kind of comfort in it, knowing again that there's more for us to come back. You know, if you can dismantle a Mayo team like that inside and Tralee at this stage of a league campaign, still waiting on so many to come back, have to enjoy it, I think. Poor game, no contest, I wouldn't look at that.
And it's the way we're playing the football, Ivan, that's so enjoyable to watch. Mm-hmm. And like, and if we keep playing like that, there'll be no call-outs for supporters going to Croke Park this year, because the crowds will follow him, because it's so enjoyable to go out and watch that style of football. No, it's the league now, to be fair, this year has been very enjoyable. As like this time last year, we'd only 4 points. We're on 9 points at the moment. You know, whether we head on for the league final or we'll see the weekend what shows up above an arm or what happens. Yeah, but at the way Kerry are motoring, you know, as a squad, their squad dipped. You know, you could not only be happy to not to be following them at the moment.
And on the bigger picture, Ivan, you'd have to say the county board in particular, they must be very happy with where we're at in Kerry football at the moment. Yeah. You know, it comes from the clubs first, but the GDA is around the county. You know, it's not a coincidence that these guys come out and they have the skills they have. Jack O'Connor and the boys hone it in and they develop it, but you have to have the basics, the handling, the catching, the kicking, and comfortable on both sides. We have that in abundance. And our structures here, you know, there's people talking about the amount of games we play and about this, but the competitive nature of every competition here in Kerry, it lends to this, and there's no place to hide. And the county men, when they've gone out for the last 2 years, you know, a few years ago we were in here, Liam and myself, and
you'll be looking from Jack.
You'll be difficult to find out the county man. If you were a stranger from coming into Kerry, you'd nearly be asking who's the county man there. I can tell you, in the last 2 years, nobody's asking that question. They've led by example, and the rising tide will raise all boats, as they say. It certainly has. We're in a very good position, and you know, this is down to the likes of all our coaches at minor and under 20 level. You know, they're developing these guys for ultimately to play a senior for Kerry.
Yeah, you look at Tralee, the Hogan Cup tomorrow.
Yeah,
you know, it starts at a club, like you said. It's in schools. You know, like you said, a rising tide lifts all boats, and I think that's the one thing we're good at here in Kerry. We know as well. Look, was it a pat in the back? A pat in the back is only 6 inches away from in the backside as well down here, and that's, you know, and sometimes that's good as well, because it can bring you down to earth very quick. So
there was a mailman out in front of us the last thing they were talking, and disappointing after the long journey down. And they were just chatting between themselves, and he said, "You have to respect class." I thought it was a great comment.
Yeah.
And he said, "Some of the best footballers were out there tonight in the Kerry jersey.
They understand football.
And they understand football. And fair play to them."
Yeah. And there's a good crowd still around Tralee, to be fair. They do travel in great numbers, Mayo. And there might be a few listening this evening, maybe who are back at home or maybe around Tralee. There was a good few shot of families still around, obviously kids off school. It is great to see. One more, because we're overdue for a break. Very impressed with Armin Heinrich. On one occasion, Kobe dummied him, but he was back in a flash to block Kobe's kick. That was, around kind of the edge of the arc, wasn't it? Great to see that desire. That's from Charles. Again, like, there's a couple of players like we haven't given huge mentions to tonight, but it feels like we kind of mentioned him a lot every week. Armin Heinrich and Joe Connor, another man who none of us have mentioned so far. He had another great game name as well, didn't he?
Very good, yeah. And Graham Sullivan there as well. And it's just like I know we're talking about a few individual players, but it's nearly a panel,
a team effort,
a panel,
yeah.
And a team effort now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We're overdue another ad break here on Terrace Talk. We're here until 8 o'clock this evening. 083 300 3300 is our text or WhatsApp line. Get in touch there, or you can call 066 712 3666.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
Now, so you're welcome back to the programme. You said 083 300 3300 on text or WhatsApp. You can call 066 712 3666. I suppose, Liam, looking ahead to next week, obviously every sort of relegation threat is well gone now for Kerry, so it's all looking up for a league final. Going off points and head-to-heads versus point difference, everything else, a draw is enough for Kerry to guarantee them a league final place, given that Mayo are playing Roscommon. One of them will finish on potentially on 10 points as well as Kerry, but the head-to-head will work in Kerry's favour there. What do we expect to happen in Armagh, because it's always a tough one. It's a tough place,
to go.
We saw they did in Tralee last year as well, Armagh. So, like, you know, that's a tricky one, and it's kind of a one where you could go up and, you know, very tough game. So, I won't ask you how it's going to go, but how do we feel that it might fare out a small bit, or do we see Kerry go out there all guns blazing to win this one?
Well, you see, Armagh have been playing very well all through the league, but they haven't been picking up the results really, John, until last weekend.
Two wins and four losses.
Like a pint and nearly to them as well. So I know, could we do a deal before we go up
shake hands?
But no, I think at the way no matter what Kerry team will go up, we're going to be strong anyway. You know, at the way we're playing.
Yeah.
No, so whether he leaves the likes of David or Shania on the bench or whatever, I can't see. I don't see him risking the likes of Paddy and these fellas yet, and Paul Gainey. No, so I don't see many changes, to be honest, from the weekend. And I hope not, because I think, look, there is a league final there. I'd be hoping that we'd have a go at it. And look, people are saying, should we be playing Donegal in it? No, everyone's on about Donegal, probably the closest team to us.
Yeah.
I'd see why not, because, you know, between the league final and the All-Ireland final or semi-final, there's a lot of football to be played. So I don't think there'd be any major secrets or anything like that. So I'd personally go for it.
At this stage, John, it is kind of probably important to kind of keep trucking on, keep the momentum going with you. I was at defeat in Donegal since then, Kerry, unbeaten as well. So it's probably kind of a case of keep the momentum going. And if it's a good, entertaining game of football, maybe if you lost by a point or two in the end, nothing lost this stage of the year. But, you know, I think the majority of Kerry support will have an all day out in Croke Park in a couple of weeks' time as well.
No doubt about that, Ivan, in fairness. And, you know, I suppose the fact that, you know, the bottom of the table, Dublin and Armagh, together on 4 points.
Correct, yeah.
Dublin playing Galway. So, you know, Armagh could need something to stay up, depending on the results. They might need a victory, but it shows how competitive it is. And I think from a Kerry point of view, you know, we're in a good state of health. We're in a good position. We're playing good football. You know, why not? I'd go for it, you know.
Yeah. When Dublin were gone, Ivan, they never took the leg off the accelerator.
No, definitely not. I don't think there's any reason why we should be suggesting Kerry would either. Yeah. I think Jack was out to win everything, you know, he's in for. And I think we were kind of joking earlier on in the year about the McGrath Cup, but that would have stung a small bit as well. So,
was even the team of the league in Division 1 this year, Roscommon?
Yeah, 100%.
They were earmarked to go down along with Monaghan. And like they're safe going into the last game. And, you know, a fantastic achievement. A great victory again yesterday in bad conditions.
And could and probably should have got at least a draw in Fitzgerald Stadium on the opening day as well.
Exactly, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I don't, with the buzzer, you know, and fair play to them. And, you know, we were chatting there in the hall before we came in. You wouldn't be backing against them at a tilt to Connacht either now.
They're playing with great confidence, Ivan. The Bridget boys are being filtered back into it. You know, fellas like Inda Smith and the Craigs and the Murtas are playing great football.
They're attacking football.
They're playing attacking football.
Attacking football.
You know, they're going at it, which is good.
Yeah.
And the week after the Kerry game, there was a lot of people disappointed with the result because they didn't rate Roscommon being a team in contention. But subsequent games have proved that Roscommon are certainly in there, and I think, you know, they're going into the last game safe.
Yeah, 100%. Monaghan, 6 defeats from 6. Bannigan saying after the game that thank God they weren't in Division 2 because they would have been relegated there as well. Not a great sign in your preparations for Championship, Liam.
Yeah, I was watching them now yesterday against Galway as well, and they seem to be a team that are kind of, they're rudderless. And I suppose they've lost a lot of players and stuff like that, but things didn't go well for them in the league. And yeah, they've no leaders out around the middle of the field at the moment.
Yeah, nice to have battles, John, going to the final day, really everywhere. The two league finalists not confirmed, Monaghan's relegation confirmed, but Armagh or Dublin still fighting for their survival. So all bar pretty much Galway really have something to play for on the last day, which is great.
Yeah, and you're spot on, Ivan, and I think, you know, Division 1, like, there's four teams in contention to get to the final. You know, that's half the division. You look at all the divisions, I think it has proved the point that everybody is at their own standard in the National Football League, mm-hmm. in the four divisions.
Yeah.
They're really competitive. There's so much to play for in all divisions going into the last round. And that's great. Great for spectators, great for the competition itself.
And if Dublin and Armagh win, Galway could be brought into it. It goes to head-to-head,
yeah,
then.
It does, yeah.
There'll be three teams on 6 points.
Yeah, sorry, you're dead right. Yeah, there'll be three teams on 6, yeah.
Then, yeah.
Yeah, because Galway would have been, let's say they'd have to lose to Dublin, which is the last game.
Yeah.
That would bring Dublin to 6, and then it would depend on the Galway Armagh result, potentially, if Armagh win as well. So yeah, it's still up there. Division 2, lads, and ultra competitive, and to be honest, we kind of talk about the importance of staying in Division 1, but if anything to go by this year, Division 2 was extremely competitive as well, which was great, all barring Offaly, again, similar story to Monaghan up the top. But when you see a team like Tyrone with only two wins, you know, in the year and standing in fifth in the table. It does go show how competitive that division is. As I said, Derry, Tyrone only mid-table in Division 2.
That's right, and our neighbours over across the border are motoring nicely as well, Ivan.
A big game now the weekend against Tyrone, don't they?
It is, yeah. And they had a big win now again the weekend.
That was impressive, you know. Sherlock going really well. Chris Hogue-Jones, they're going well. Yeah. And, you know, huge win. And I think a bigger win at the weekend was Louth beating Derry.
That was a massive win.
You know, because Derry had been going well. And Louth are up in RD, they're a tough nut to crack and they're playing some great football. And, you know, there was a lot of people maybe saying, ourselves included, when Ger Brennan left, you know, it was going to be difficult to come in there and take it up. They were Leinster champions. They couldn't really improve on that, we felt, but there certainly are. And, you know,
and like you said outside in the stairs, Ivan, we could have a mini
Ulster Championship
in Division 2 next year.
Yeah, I'm going to go through that here as well. We've only got a couple of minutes left, but you're looking at Tyrone, Derry, Cavan, realistically speaking, staying in Division 2. You're going to have Monaghan going down, that's guaranteed, so that's potentially 4. Down have got promoted from Division 3, that's 5, and then potentially Armagh going down as well. And, you know, when you look at the Ulster Championship, Liam, and kind of how competitive that was over the last couple of years, realistically the only there's potentially only going to be one Ulster team in outside of Donegal, say Donegal won, but outside of Donegal then it could be only Armagh if they don't get relegated. And looking likely that unless Derry get to a league final in Division 2, that could be it.
Yeah.
It just goes to show, you talk about playing footballing sides and we know it's their defensive football. Is that where the new rules are after?
The new rules might be after showing up a few things, all right. You know, the footballing counties now are going to come to their fore. Are the teams or the management teams that are brave enough to go attacking? I think Roscommon are definitely one of those. You know, the way they are playing their football now, it's a delight to watch. And it's attacking football. The defensive days are gone, Ivan. You can't do it anymore.
No. Definitely not. And I'm going to skip down past Division 3. No offence to anyone in those counties listening to us, but Division 4, John, is quite something. And, you know, we talk about, you know, the kind of lower level Tailteann Cup and everything else. But again, football has gotten so competitive that from 1st to 7th, each one of those teams can possibly get to a league final, barring Waterford, who are 8th on no points from their 6 games. Imagine you could be in 7 today and in a league final this time next week. It's beyond belief, really. But again, just goes to show how competitive the game is and how close the fine margins are.
Yeah, incredible. Division 4 is incredible, as you say. Waterford, the only team that have nothing to play for at the weekend. All the other teams have something to play for. And again, it shows playing at your own level, so even. And all games are so difficult to call. At the moment, Wicklow and Carlow are on top with 8 points each, but the rest are coming on 7 and 6. So, mouth-watering clashes coming up next weekend.
Yeah, and probably one of the strongest campaigns for London as well, John, in the last couple of years. Good Kerry interest in that London team as well. And they came up to Division 3 to be quite something. Tipperary, Waterford, unfortunately, they're Limerick bottom of Division 3. Clare only mid-table. So, Munster vibes, Kerry and Cork leading the way again. As we'll be back after news, I suppose, with County League and of course the Hogan Cup as well. Just, I'm going to call it league finalist after this time next Monday night. Who will we be saying is in the league final?
I hope so, Ivan. I think it'll be ourselves in Donegal. That's the way I'd like to see it.
Yeah, I'd like to see that too, Ivan. You know, I think Donegal should be beating Monaghan,
yeah.
And I think we'll do enough to get in. And it'll be a mouth-watering clash again, because you're talking about the two best teams in the country on form at this point in time.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, lads, we'll head for our news at 7 o'clock. As ever, keep your comments coming to us 083 300 3300 on text or WhatsApp. You can call 066 712 3666. Maybe send in your well wishes for CBS The Green.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
Now, Falter Ashgadi on Clar the Law Nock. This is Ivan O'Murhala, August Tommy Dunshaw. Gadi, a hook to clog in Nock. Yeah, welcome back to the second hour of Terrace Talk. Still joined by Liam Brosson and John Kennedy. Still plenty to dissect from the weekend and into tomorrow, of course, as well. John, great to see the county leagues back. It seems nearly earlier every year. We were joking in companies about Super Leagues and everything else, but the first round of the McCarthy Insurance Group, of course, new sponsor as well for the County Senior Football Leagues this year, off and running. A couple of notable results, but it is nice to have the county leagues back and well supported the weekend as well.
Oh, it's great to see the county leagues back, Ivan. You know, I suppose it's the kick-off. The divisional leagues are you know, they're a kind of a pace setter for the county leagues now in most the districts. But when the county league starts, it's kind of the serious football starts at a league basis. And, you know, it has served Kerry well over the last decade now, Ivan. Really competitive. The three up, three down make it really competitive. And, you know, in all divisions, while you have the standout teams, there's a middle ground there, and, you know, results can go either way. But great to be back, great to be competitive football, and, you know, all games played at the weekend, I think, in spite of the bad weather.
Yeah. Plenty of guards of honour given over the weekend, John. Firstly, out in Dingle, I suppose. Dr. Crose giving Dingle the guard of honour, the club champions against the county Munster and All-Ireland champions. So it was a battle of a few of the trophies on display out in Dingle on Sunday. You'd have had a fair collection, but Crose getting the better of it. But again, Dingle maybe still on a bit of holiday mode out there, maybe.
Yeah, great start and rightly so. Dingle, All-Ireland champions, getting the guard of honour. I'd say that's where, you know, the pleasantries ended. It was competitive after that, and, you know, Crokes, you know, they've been really consistent over the last number of years in county league and in club championship, and they'll have been disappointed that the big one eluded them. But Dingle, fantastic year. Back to basics again, and missing quite a number of players. But look, they'll get their way back into the side later on in the year for championship. But county league is about, I suppose, for the likes of Dingle, is looking at other players, blooding them no more than Jack O'Connor with Kerry, and giving them game time.
Yeah, most definitely. And Micheál Burns talking out for Dr. Crokes. They take so seriously, Liam, don't they, at this stage of the year? Even
they do, and it just shows you that players want to play themselves.
Mm-hmm.
No, when you have guys that were playing with Kerry on a Saturday night, next thing they're talking over their club, and fair play to the management team as well for allowing that.
Mm-hmm.
No, because I know we'll be trying to mine players, but you can't wrap them up in cotton wool either. And I suppose a lot of, and what John, when we were playing ourselves, you love playing, you didn't want training, but you love playing games, and I think that's what these fellas want. They want to play games, and to see. And he was one of a few that went out and played with the county players.
Yeah, which it is great to see. Liam, the other one then, the double guard of honour was between the All-Ireland junior champions and the All-Ireland intermediate champions. The junior getting the better of the intermediate on this occasion by a goal. But again, it is nice, isn't it, to kind of see that happen this stage of the year. I'm sure a lot of the Gwented and Ballymac lads, those who are obviously going back in with Kerry and everything else, are well and good. But a lot of those players, you know, I know it was a long year, but they do enjoy playing football and getting back out at this stage of the year as well.
They do, and especially, I suppose, after what they're after doing,
yeah,
in January, and the bit of a break, you'll have the bit of a hunger, and meeting the lads in the dressing rooms, and, you know, going back on the cold wet nights again, you know, that brings back memories. But it was a nice game to kick off the league for both teams.
Yeah,
you know, the two All-Ireland champions, I saw a bit of a video that Ballymac had up. You know, they had the youngsters out doing the guard of honour, the Ballymac kids. you know, which was a nice thing as well.
Yeah.
You know, for both teams. But yeah, Ballymac come away with the honours. No, Ballymac will be competitive in the county league, because I suppose bar the one or two that they have with the Kerry under 20s, they have most of their team. Mm-hmm. Whereas the likes of the Gael took with a couple of the guys inside with the seniors. No, they'll be trying to bid in other players come championship then to see what they have when they have the big boys back.
Yeah, no, most definitely. Cora had a good win,
yeah, a very good win in Churchill. No, it's always important, I suppose, if you can win your first couple of games, especially either when you go up to division or come down. No, Cora came up now last year from four to three, so it's important for them now to see can they get a couple of early points, and no, it takes the pressure off. And especially when you have three teams up and three teams down, it's a bit of competitiveness there.
Our two sides of the house in the black and amber did well, John. Unfortunately, SC didn't have the best of starts.
No, didn't have the best of starts against Fireys, but we were there, played Ivan, and you know, hopefully we'll kick on for the rest of the year. Yeah. You know, tough numbers is tough and everyone knows that, but it's about keeping your identity in Ivan and putting out the team, and you know, it goes in cycles. You know, a lot of rural teams in bother for numbers, but you know, hopefully that the things will turn. And the most important thing, like Liam said there, get back into the dressing room, look, have a bit of banter, you go out and you play, and you improve. You'll have ups and downs, but it's all about playing.
Yeah. We often talk about mental health, lads. We you know, we had this conversation early January, didn't we? And yeah, you know, for those lads, as you said, John, you know, it might be scraping a couple of players together, but at the end of the day, don't they all go out and enjoy themselves? And I know football, we take it seriously here. We talk about it all year long, and we talk about the negatives and the positives. Yeah. But the positives far outweigh the negatives when 15 men of whatever age can, you know, put on a jersey, get out and play the game. And I think that's important, especially, you know, with some news you get during the week. It's just, you know, it's sport is just an escape. And you know, when Kerry win, we all win. And you know, when your club wins, you all win. And if you lose, there's a game next week again. And what about?
And like they say, Ivan, when we're at our lowest, the GA is at its best.
Yeah,
you know. So, and that's important.
It just absolutely sucks you in, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Sucking in tomorrow will be the big game in Croke Park. If you're heading out to parade, you might want to get home or get indoors somewhere to watch the Hogan Cup final. Always a big one, John, and the green here in Tralee up in the Hogan Cup final, back in after a good few years away, which is quite unreal, really, when you think, I suppose, up against the same in Kerry for many years as well. But a really strong team this year, but they're coming up against a good Mullingar side as well. Should be a cracker.
Yeah, it should be a great game, Ivan. And the first thing you said in Croke Park, I think that's great for the young lads. It's fantastic. You know, I was reading during the week, the CBS goalkeeper, you know, soccer was his number one game, but got into the football in goals for CBS and getting to Croke Park. And it's a common denominator. It's great to get there. They're coming up against a very good side, you know. Two good victories in Leinster, getting through the All-Ireland semi-final, putting up good scores, 216, 316. But this CBS team, well-coached, lot of players that, you know, have a great future, Liam, I think, in Kerry football. And, you know, it should be a cracker. It's all about, for young fellas in particular, it's all about performing on the day.
Yeah.
You know, all the preparations, how are they going to perform?
You just don't know what way they're
just
react
don't
like,
know.
Yeah.
With experienced senior players, fair enough, you know, they've been there and done that. But young lads, it's about doing it. And sometimes it's the player that you don't expect to do it can come up trumps. You know, some of the better known players may have an off day. Hopefully they'll all play well. And all we can do is wish Mark and Liam and all the lads with CBS and the players the very best of luck tomorrow. Enjoy the occasion. And hopefully they're coming back with the Hogan Cup to Kerry again. What a year it will be for Kerry football, mm-hmm, if the Hogan Cup comes home. And let's not forget, they're in an Ireland hurling final as well.
Yeah, the B final. Yeah.
Incredible achievement for the school. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Brilliant.
No, it absolutely is. Just a couple of notes, Liam, I suppose, play it in Croke Park. It's just massive. And the St. Patrick's Day was always reserved for the senior club finals, which was always fantastic as well. That all being moved forward, it's just, again, like we often criticise, you know, certain decisions. I mean, we mentioned about the minor finals not being played there, which again seems kind of beyond belief. But it just goes so, like, sometimes the GA do pull out ones out of the bag. And, you know, saying that you can head up and, you know, you can play your final in Croke Park at your 16, 17, doing your leaving cert. What an experience.
A massive experience. And like we said it here, and we keep beating the drum, we're disappointed with the minors, but at the same time, you know, at school level, to get up there with our buddies and play in Croke Park, these guys will be buzzing with the last 2 weeks waiting for this. You know, the CBS had a good test now against St. George of Mayo, you know, so I think that will stand to them, but they'll still need their big boys, you know, to show up tomorrow. And I think they will, because we've seen the likes of Nick Lacey, Garrod Wright, you know, Ron and Carol and Martin McGivigan and these fellas, you know, playing with Kerry. And there's good breeding there, there's good stock there. And I think tomorrow is another day that they can show that.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Great to see the support, John, as well. The bunting is out in the town, the flags outside the school and everything else. I think the school game is great, because you're kind of playing with your own friends. All your friends go up, to be plenty of noise and singing and drums and everything. We've heard it on the commentary from the Munster final and the All-Ireland semi-final as well. That kind of support, your peers around you, school can be a tough enough time. It's great.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And it's, you know, we've said about the county that the club is important. You're coming back to your own, and it's different. The school is the very same. You're playing with the lads that you're sitting in next day every day in the classroom, and fantastic. One thing, Ivan, there, you know, talking about young lads and talking about the age group and that. Spoke to a guy today, very knowledgeable football man, and he made a point to me which I hadn't. He said, the name eludes me. This guy for Arsenal that came on at the weekend and got the second goal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's under 16.
Yeah.
He couldn't play football in Kerry or in Ireland for two more years, yet he can play Premiership with Arsenal. What does that say, like?
Yeah, there you go, yeah.
It was a good one.
Yeah, often the talent and the youngsters can be massive. Lads, time to go, unfortunately. We're finished up for this evening on the football matters. Back next week, of course, Kerry against Armagh. Ladies game similar as Saturday evening. Men's game Sunday. And, of course, plenty more in between the Hogan Cup tomorrow as well. So we'll have an action-packed first hour next week. So, lads, thanks very much for this evening. We'll be back after the break. 083 300 3300 or 066 712 3666.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sport.
Yeah, you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hurley with you until 8 o'clock this evening. Now, we've something special for the next half hour or so here on Terrace Talk, and it's one that should be of really good interest to our listeners as well. It's a online service called The Replay. It's an initiative launched to support people living with dementia. The idea is beautifully simple, but very moving as well. Michal Marhurtig, a voice that we all know so well, and you know, associate so many memories of Kerry games or just GA games in general, in be it Croke Park, All Ireland finals, or up along as well, from listening on the airwaves. Well, his voice is being used in collaboration with the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland, the GA, and of course the RTE archives, with creative input as well from the TBWA, and designed to be simple and accessible, really, for families at home, for carers, and for hospitals and nursing homes as well. And the response has been fantastic. I don't want to explain any more, because I want to hear from the people behind the project, and I suppose what this project can do for people living with Alzheimer's. So we've got a couple of guests lined up over the next while, some fantastic people to talk to and their stories. But we're going to go to Professor Richard Roach first, who is a professor of psychology and neuroscience and an expert in memory and reminiscence therapy, all in Maynooth University, with a big hand in this project as well. Dr. Richard, it's fantastic to have you on. I suppose, just from the outset, I suppose, maybe a small bit of an explanation about the project as a whole.
Yeah, thanks, Ivan. The project is a lovely idea. So I was approached by the people at TBWA because they had been starting to try and put together this archive at the behest of Michal's family, who wanted to make this resource available to people and to also have it do some good and benefit people. So the idea was to make these recordings of matches going back decades available to everyone on a website, which you could search very easily to find whatever matches you wanted. And for that act of listening back to those matches, those particular occasions, to be beneficial for people. And And it can be, because we know that one of the things that can be very good for people in the different stages of dementia is a thing called reminiscence therapy. Now, reminiscence therapy is basically guided reminiscence, where people are facilitated or guided to remember events from earlier in their life in as much detail as they can, in order to really keep the memory structures and memory circuits in the brain in good shape. So when we remember something, when we engage in reactivating a memory, all the different parts of the brain that were involved in that event at the time, they become active again. And sometimes it just takes one element of that memory. It could be a smell, it could be a sight, it could be a sound. One thing can kind of trigger the rest of those memories to come back. And there's probably no more powerful auditory cue than the sound of Micheál's voice, because it was so distinctive and really was the sound of the GAA for so many decades. So the idea is listening to his voice will be able to hopefully transport people back to that time and reactivate those memories in the same way that we know music does for people in the later stages of dementia. We see when you play music from someone's childhood or from their early life, even people in the very later stages of dementia, they can come back to themselves. You know, the music can kind of help them come back to being that person that they were. And it's a very powerful way of doing it. And hopefully Micheál's voice will have the same effect.
Yeah. So if you were to pick a game kind of in particular, Richard, would it be kind of a case of would someone be remembering that game? Or is it more down to maybe listening to anyone in particular and just the voice kind of triggering that memory?
I think in general, the voice will have a bit of an effect, because, you know, it was kind of the soundtrack to Sunday afternoons for many people for many, many years. But I think for specific matches, and you can search on the website for specific games, there's a lot of finals up there. It goes back at the moment to the 80s, but the hope is it'll go back further eventually. That particular day, hopefully, those memories from maybe travelling up to the match or maybe listening to it at home or, you know, talking about it afterwards, all those elements, who you were with, where you were sitting, what the weather was like, you know, the sights and sounds and the tastes of the sandwiches that you brought with you if you travelled up to the match, all those things hopefully will come back, and memories kind of can cascade in that way. And it's something that, you know, people can do together. They can listen to it together, you know, as a family. It's not just for people living with dementia. It's something anyone can enjoy.
Yeah, and I think we all, you know, enjoy Micheál Mar Hurtig's voice. We often hear, you know, maybe poetry read by him, or you know, like that clips from different games. I think even, you know, younger people, older people, it's just a voice we can kind of all associate ourselves with for some reason. Anyone who's had any interest in Gaelic games, and that's why his voice in it kind of comes across very powerful for something like this as well.
Yes, it was. It was so distinctive and so uniquely attached to the GAA for so long. I don't think there's many examples around the world that can claim something similar. You know, he kind of was the sound of the GAA for a very, very long time. And I think that will resonate with so many people.
From a sort of dementia, you know, sort of a standpoint, obviously triggers to you know, for memory is very important. I suppose, is there any sort of maybe long-term effect from being able to bring back memories from the past for you know, patients with dementia? Is there sort of a scientific longevity or maybe easing of the, you know, the strength of dementia you have maybe? Or is it just a case of, you know, it can kind of give a person that sort of comfort for, you know, those couple of minutes, or that memory comes back to them?
Yeah, there's definitely that short-term impact that you described there. And, you know, it can be, hopefully it'll be a source of real comfort and joy for people. But more broadly, the idea behind the whole reminiscence approach is that by activating and using those memory areas in the brain, and those memory circuits, the idea is that it'll keep those pathways in the brain in better shape, so that they'll be more likely to become active again in future. And hopefully we'll see some benefits to memory. Like the brain, it's not a muscle, but it's useful to think of it as if it was a muscle. So the more we use it, the better condition it'll be in. And particularly with memory, the more we activate those memory areas, and the more we kind of activate those pathways and those connections, hopefully memory tends to improve over time. And I think that's why reminiscence is such a powerful approach, and it's used in a lot of places.
Yeah, this is kind of the first of its kind in the country, Richard. So, you know, hugely important that maybe people who are into their Gaelic games maybe even make themselves aware with the website. Maybe they've got a family member at home, maybe with dementia, to introduce them to this. I'm sure you kind of stress the importance of the service and how you can, as I said, maybe dip in and out of it whenever you feel is most necessary.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's designed, as you said, to be as accessible as possible. You can search by county, you can search by year, you can search by matches. As I said, we're hoping to add more to it. It goes back to the early 80s at the minute, but hopefully it'll go back further. And like I said, it's something that anyone can enjoy. I mean, anyone can benefit from reminiscing and keeping their brain in good shape, whether or not you're living with dementia. It's something people can do together as a family, or even people living overseas, you know, who grew up here. It might be a way to help them connect back with their memories of childhood or earlier life, even if they're across the world. So hopefully it'll be something that many people can enjoy in lots of different ways.
Yeah, and I think there's more uses to the service as well than it's obviously it's great for the reasons there. But as you said, it's sort of a thing that, you know, you could enjoy maybe with a grandchild as well, and maybe talk to them about you know, how great you know, as a commentator Mihála Mrhartig was, or you know, you can use it for so many different reasons. It's a great archive to have, just from even a Gaelic Games point of view as well, Dr. Richard, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. And I mean, it is, it's really nice that it's going to act as an archive of Mihál as well, and his commentary and his little turns of phrase and his ways of expressing things. And as you say, trying to explain that to younger generations, you know, you can describe it all you want, but they have to hear it, and they have to hear him. And now they can, with lots and lots of different examples.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Dr. Richard Roach, it was a pleasure chatting to you. Thanks very much for, I suppose, all the work that you've put into this as well. And hopefully there's people in the kingdom listening this evening that might be able to use the service, and I might just give them that bit of warmth and comfort as well. Thanks very much for joining us this evening on Terrace Talk.
Thanks a million. All the best.
That's Dr. Richard Roach there. He's a professor of psychology and neuroscience, and of course an expert in memory and reminiscence therapy. He was involved in this project called The Replay, with Mihála Mrhartig's commentaries being uploaded online, and hopefully it'll be able to trigger memories for those suffering with Alzheimer's or dementia, of course, as well. Plenty more people to talk to on this, and some nice stories as well to come. We'll be talking to Dearna Mrhartig, of course, Mihal's youngest daughter. We'll be chatting to Jack O'Shea, of course. You'll plenty of Kerry football fans will know that name. And of course, Siobhan Doyle as well, an author of a book with the history of the GA in 100 Objects. And she'll talk about her story and her mother's suffering with dementia as well. So plenty to come between now and 8 o'clock. Keep your comments coming in to us, 083 300 3300. We have to go through a quick break here on Radio Kerry.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry,
sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
Now, Faltrash Gidi on Claw. We're in the midst of our conversation on the replay, of course. It is an online archive to support people living with dementia, using old commentaries from Kerry legendary broadcaster Mihál Mrhartig. I'm delighted to be joined by Mihál's daughter, Dearan, on the line now. Dearan, it's a pleasure to welcome you on Terrace Talk, and I really appreciate you taking the time out of your Monday evening to chat to us. Look, your dad's voice, and I suppose the role it kind of played in the GA for so many people, it really kind of goes understated. And you know, when you see something in like this come along, it's great to see him recognised in this way too, isn't it?
Oh, sure, it's such an incredible project. Like, when Richard talked so well about, I suppose, the science behind it and the reasoning behind it, but when we were approached, first of all, to see would we be on board or happy to kind of have his voice and his commentaries used for this purpose, we couldn't have said yes quick enough. It was such an honour, first of all, to be asked for his commentaries and his voice not to be used in such a way. But it's just such an incredible idea, first of all, and project, and what they've done with it to bring it all together has been phenomenal, really. And just thinking back of, you know, like they said, it's at the minute it goes from the 80s to 2010, but as they said, that's only phase one, and they're hoping to kind of really extend it beyond that, include Irish commentaries, including some Camogie ladies football commentaries too. So, like, you genuinely couldn't have a better use of his work or a more worthwhile project or cause or initiative than this project, really.
Yeah, it must give your family great pride to kind of see it used in this way now, because for so many years he entertained so many people, but now it's being used for kind of the betterment of people who are maybe suffering later on in life.
It's incredible, really. Like, and I suppose we're so honoured and happy and just delighted that the idea, I suppose, came to someone, first of all, to use it in this way. But, and he himself, if he was here, he'd have been, I suppose, the first to say yes and the first to help out in any way he could, and using it for such an incredible, I suppose, initiative or project or cause. And yeah, I suppose for people living with dementia or Alzheimer's or any kind of form of cognitive decline, like they said, music therapy can be a great way to do it. But, well, it depends on people's interest. If sport or GA or football was what they were really passionate or interested in, it's great that this hopefully would be a way to kind of transport people back to, you know, a special time or a special match or a special occasion in their lives, and just to bring about good memories for them and maybe give them a bit of a lift or a bit of relief for their families as well, to create old memories and bring them back to happy times.
You spent a lot of time travelling between the grounds with your dad during, I think, up to 20 years. You know, when you're looking kind of back on that now, they're obviously special memories for you to have. What was he like kind of watching him up close, and kind of, we were listening to him at home, but you were seeing him in action as well?
Yeah, we all kind of helped him out at different times over the years, and there's so many of us at home. We kind of dipped in and out depending on who was free, but I'm the youngest of the gang, really, so I probably was doing it more longer than everyone else, really, just the way things worked out. But actually, like, Sundays and Saturdays in our house was just all about football and hurling. It was nothing else, really, except that. And we'd all be in the car with him different times. There'd always be a few of us at matches, even if you weren't taking notes or you were too young to kind of help out formally, you were there anyway. So our home for weekends was just football, was just hurling, really. So it was good memories to kind of go back around and just be in the car with them every weekend and to different matches all over the country, really.
Yeah, I suppose at the time, it probably easier to kind of look back now, Darren, on this, but, you know, at the time, did you kind of realise, you know, the place that, you know, his voice kind of had on everybody, really, everyone, any GA supporter, his voice was so synonymous with all of us. At the time, I suppose it might be easier in reflection, but at the time, had you kind of any idea what, you know, the power of his words and what it did for people?
I suppose it, when you were quite young, and I would have been going to matches, and there are photos of me in Croke Park when I was barely able to walk on the pitch. So, you know, we were all going to matches since before you realised what was even going on. So I suppose it's only when you grow up or get a bit more aware of things, you might see, I suppose, the impact of what he was or what he meant to people. And when you were young, you just kind of assumed it was normal to take an hour to get to the car because people wanted to talk to you. That was just an everyday thing, really, that people wanted to stop and chat to him. But so Dad, he was very lucky to be doing a job that he absolutely loved, you know, and for so long as well. It's something that he just loved everything about it, from going to the matches, meeting people the week before on the street and chatting about it at night, people on the way back to the car. Like, he just enjoyed it so much, and whatever enjoyment people got out of maybe listening to him, he got as much or more doing this and talking to people and just living with football and hurling himself, really.
Yeah, no, that is fabulous. Do you think that's kind of, I suppose, the commentaries kind of resonate with a lot of people, and his voice does drum up those kind of memories, and we often see it with different, even old clips on the television would kind of bring back memories from even Kerry All-Ireland going through the year. Do you think it was kind of the way he had about him, and kind of the catchphrases he used to have, or maybe it was the tone of his voice, or was it just that he was there kind of for every big occasion, maybe for Kerry people or Cork people or Kilkenny people? It kind of didn't really, he had that kind of appeal all over the country. Would you kind of put it down to kind of his style, or was it just more kind of how he described the game? Or
I don't really know, really, what he just was himself, I suppose, any match he was at. You know, he was the same behind the mic as without a mic. He just loved a bit of fun. And, like, I know you're talking to Jack later, Jack knows him very well as well, but he always said it's so important to have a bit of fun and just not to take yourself too seriously and just, you know, enjoy what you're doing. And he did, like, for over 60 years, it wasn't a job to him. He just enjoyed just talking to people and living football and hurling. So, I think maybe that's untrue, just that he genuinely loved what he did.
I'm sure the last couple of weeks haven't been hugely easy, Darren. I can completely imagine that. It's been, you know, it hasn't been a huge amount of time since, you know, Michal's sad passing. But how have the family been kind of keeping, getting through this? I'm sure this kind of has given me as much warmth as anything else over the last couple of weeks. You know, you can see what his kind of life and his legacy has led on to as well. But I can't imagine it was too easy for you.
We missed Paul terribly so much, and you know the house, I suppose, is a bit quieter since he's not with us anymore. But I suppose it's days like this that you realise how much he'd have loved being here too, and how much he'd have been so on board and so supportive of this, and just, I suppose, thankful for the people that thought of the idea first and put such massive work into it. Like I said, he would have been first on board to say yes or to be behind this or support it any way he can. And just to give credit to all the people who actually did such amazing work to pull it together, and I suppose that are keep going, that will keep developing this to grow and grow over the years.
You had a lovely day out in Croke Park last Monday for the official launch.
We did, yeah, it was great, and most of the family were there as well. There's a few abroad, and anyone that was close enough could get home, flew home for it, but the few that are a bit too far away couldn't make it. But yeah, no, it was great, and Dad's two sisters, Maureen and Kathleen, were there too, nieces, nephews, cousins, grandchildren. Yeah, it was a fair gang of Murrayfinns there on Monday, and it was a brilliant day.
Absolutely. And just finally, Darren, I suppose before I let you go, Jack is patiently waiting on the line as well, but I suppose just kind of into the future now, you know, I think we're all able to kind of reflect on your father's life and from what we knew him from a broadcasting standpoint, and I suppose kind of we always, you know, hear his voice, it brings back, it does jog those memories. I'm sure kind of going into the future now, especially with this archive there for people, it's lovely now that he has that legacy is all in one place, very easy for people to access now, and you know, I'm sure that the next generations will be telling our kids about Micheál Ó Murtaugh and being able to clip into these, and this was the sound of our generation and older again.
Yeah, and like you were saying before, it's an amazing campus archive, and I think it'll be used by people just to dip in and out and remember different days or different matches that they were at for themselves. But you know, thinking back to what I suppose it was created for in the first place, for reminiscent therapy and for those living with Alzheimer's or dementia or different cognitive decline, if it can bring any bit of solace or relief or happiness or joy to those people and their families, that's just an incredible legacy to have. So yeah, we're so honoured that this is there now.
Yeah, absolutely, and a huge legacy Micheál will have into the future as well. Darren, I really appreciate you coming on. It's not an easy thing to do, and I understand that. So I really appreciate your couple of minutes, and continued success with the replay. I'm sure we'll hear plenty more on this as more games are added to the archive as we go along as well. And I think Camogie and ladies football coming up through it as well. And you know, between RTE and the Alzheimer's Society and your family really set up, you know, hopefully a lot of people to be in comfort in the latter stages of their lives as well. So Darren, thanks very much for joining us this evening.
Thank you so much, Adam.
Gormagut, Darren Ní Bhorthy, there, of course, daughter of Micheál. I feel we've kind of gone enough into this evening. I'm nearly itching to hear some of Micheál Ó Murtaugh myself. So we're going to play a quick snippet from the 1985 All-Ireland Final.
Out comes Sean Walsh to get the ball. Sean Walsh gets the ball. A kick from Sean Walsh, a short kick to Ambrose O'Donovan outside the 50-yard line. Ambrose to Ogie Morden. Ogie Morden goes cross field and then kicks it away down the field. Out comes Ray Hazley and Mikey Sheehy. The ball breaks to Timmy Dowd. Timmy Dowd racing in. A man on the right loose. The man is Owen Liston. Owen Liston with the hand pass into Jed Pound. Jed Pound in a goaling position, being held. The referee waves on play. It's a penalty to Kerry for a foul there on Jed Pound. A very good move for Kerry, started by Sean Walsh way back, carried on by Timmy Dowd, and it's a penalty for Kerry. The penalty man is Jack O'Shea. He's 50 yards away from the ball at the moment. He's making a slow run up towards it. John O'Leary at the goal, Jack O'Shea the kicker. He's never kicked a penalty for Kerry in a championship match in Croke Park. Jack has placed the ball in the 14. A line of men in the 21. Up comes Jack O'Shea. A shot and a goal. Jack O.
There you go. The man who converted the penalty in that 1985 final, Jack O'Shea, he's on the line. Jack, you're welcome to Terrace Talk. Really appreciate you coming on to talk to us this evening about Micheál and, of course, the replay project. You know, it's funny, I've been chatting to a couple of people, Jack, over the last couple of minutes, and all of a sudden with Micheál, I wasn't around in 1985, but just his voice and everything else just really brings you back to different moments, doesn't it?
Oh, it does, yeah. And the first thing I want to say is that what a beautiful family Michal and Helena had as well, that all the kids were fabulous. I knew them from a very, very young age, going to their house regularly and all that. And I must say that they all grew up to be great people and very established people in that. And they were very proud of their father, but he was also very, very proud of them. And Helene, his wife as well, was a fabulous person. And I know how they turned out so good with the parents that they had. But Michal's voice is unique. It brings back lots and lots of memories, you know.
Jack, talk to me about your relationship with Michal O'Mahertig.
I first came to Dublin when I was playing Kerry Minor, and I was staying up in Shandon Park up in Fisborough, and Seamus Fitzgerald got on to Michal to get in touch with me to bring me out training with the senior teams, the senior players who were John O'Keefe, Chirp Power, John Long was up here at the time, Pat McCarthy, and they were training out in St. Pat's College. So that was the first meeting I had with Michal. So he came to Shandon Park that one evening and picked me up and brought me out to St. Pat's. And for the next 21, 22 years, he's been my trainer and my coach for all that time.
I'm sure, like, you know, when you're playing those Ireland finals in the 80s and you're obviously not listening to the radio commentary at that time when you're on the field, but I'm sure even, like, his voice will kind of, you know, his voice kind of still resonate those kind of memories in your head, I'd imagine, of those matches, because there's something you kind of can listen to over and over again, and you almost feel like you were listening to on the day, I'd imagine, when you're scoring penalties, do you?
It's actually very funny, would you believe, about 3 or 4 nights ago, I laid back in the bed and I put it on the radio, the 1985 Ireland final, and I relived the whole match with Michal's commentary. I hadn't heard his commentary in these games, you see, because the radio would be on during the match or whatever, and you wouldn't get to hear the commentaries afterwards. You might hear snippets of them here and there, but to hear his whole commentary in a game and what he brings to the commentary, what he moves the ball up the field with occupations, he's so funny, so relaxed. He paints a great picture every time he did a commentary, and you can imagine yourself being at the game. And I was able to relive every single moment of that All Ireland final in 85, listening to his commentary. So I want to listen to a few more games than that, and I look forward to it. Even though it's for people with dementia and whatever, but, you know, there's a lot of enjoyment that people can get out of this by able to sit back and relax. And if you want an hour of comfort and an hour of relaxation and an hour of enjoyment, to put on some match of your choice from 1985 to 2010, and you can sit back there and listen as and reminisce. And, you know, it's there for everybody. And like people, even without having dementia or whatever, people that are normal or whatever will get huge satisfaction from listening to his commentaries.
Yeah, you are correct actually in that, Jack, as well, and it's probably a point I hadn't really thought of so far. Is it's actually a great archive now as well to have, from sort of a, you want to listen back to, you know, a certain All-Ireland final. Dementia obviously hugely important to all this and that kind of boost, but you know, you're kind of looking at it now and saying that it's there now forever, you can actually click on very, very easily. You're not trying to go find it, it's all in one place as well. That's a great resource to have for people, and as you said, maybe listening back to full commentaries that you were involved in yourself that you hadn't heard before.
Yeah, it's brilliant actually, you know. But like Michal O'Mahertig was a unique man, you know. He was like, I never heard a man swear, I never heard a give out, I never saw him in bad form. To me, he was a psychologist, because he could convince you that you were never fitter, you never saw you looking better, and that sort of stuff. And he's even talking to Michal was a therapy in itself. And I think listening to his voice, people will actually, it's like a therapy to everybody. It's so calm, so cool, and so collected. And there's 3 things Michal always pointed out to me. He says, and I try to imitate him here. He said, Jack, he says, there's 3 things I would tell you, he says. Yesterday, you can do nothing about what happened. Today, you can enjoy what's going on. And tomorrow, you look forward to it. And that was his philosophy in life. And he was a fabulous in that respect. And I had so many memories of great times traveling to Munster Finals together. Like, when you remember, like, we traveled down to Munster Finals together, and we were stopping cash to have an Irish breakfast, full Irish breakfast on the way down. You wouldn't have that happening today.
No.
And he often drove my car. We'd say, and I'd be coming back. I remember coming back one time from Cork with him, and he was driving my car. I had broke a little bone in my ankle, and I had my leg inside in a bucket of ice, and he brought me all the way back driving. Another night, we were coming back, and I think we were between Cashland and Portlaoise somewhere, and the Sunday game was going to be on. And he said, Jack, I think we'll miss the Sunday game. So I said, no, we won't. We'll stop now. We'll knock on some door here. So we knocked on the door of a house, and went in and watched the Sunday game. And I can tell you, the best cutler in their house came out to have the cup of tea. So they enjoyed Micheál as well. So it was fantastic.
I was going to say, was that for you or Micheál, Jack? Yeah, but yeah. I suppose kind of his voice will bring back a lot of memories for people. And he was there on the biggest stages, Jack. We mentioned All-Ireland finals. We heard the piece there leading up to your penalty in the 85 final. But, you know, his voice does resonate with people. And he had that sort of tone to his voice. He was well able to describe. He could paint a picture for you through the radio. It's a huge skill to have. And Micheál had that in abundance as well.
Yeah, without a doubt, he had the buzz. But another thing about Micheál is we trained in Dublin and we had different fellas in different counties training with us in Dublin. And he treated us no different to them. He treated everybody the same. Like, I remember hearing he was parked his car a mile and a half away from Croke Park so he could walk to the match, so he could meet people on the way to the game and get his steps in. He said he loved to get his steps in going to the game. But he resonated with everybody, no matter what county you were from. And you know, even though he was a Kerry man, you wouldn't even recognise that in his commentaries. He was so fair. And he had the same time for everybody. And there was nobody that he wouldn't give time to. And I must say, he's probably one of the most popular people that ever lived in this country, that he was known and he was wanted everywhere. And everybody could listen to him. And when Micheál spoke in a room, he took over the room and everybody was attentive. And he was just a huge inspiration to everybody.
Absolutely. Jack, we've got one more guest to come on, so we just have to take a quick break. We'll be back with Siobhan Doyle and maybe one more from Jack O'Shea after we take this quick break on Terrace Talk.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
Now you're welcome back to Radio Kerry. We're in the midst of the chat on the replay course, the online resource of Micheál Omar Hurtig's commentary for those with Alzheimer's. Delighted to be joined on the line now by Siobhan Doyle. She's the author of A History of the GA in 100 Objects. And she's also the daughter of Margaret Doyle, who was diagnosed with dementia in 2024, but listening to the All-Ireland Hurling Final of 1987 has had a huge effect on Margaret. Siobhan, I appreciate you taking the call. I know it's not an easy one, but I really do appreciate you, because I know it's important to kind of get the message out there of how important these archives are. You might tell us a small bit about your mother and, you know, listening to that 1987 All-Ireland Final.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Ivan. So the replay was launched last week and I was initially a bit apprehensive about it working for my mother, Margaret. She's 76, Kilkenny woman, living in Wexford. And nostalgia therapy hadn't really worked for her before because at Christmas I had put together a piece about home videos from the 80s and 90s, and she didn't respond very well. It was actually quite a bit distressing for her, so I wasn't very hopeful that this new archive would work for her. But I was at home in Wexford on Wednesday caring for her, and as is part of the condition of dementia, she was crying uncontrollably for no reason. And usually music works for her, so I'd throw on a bit of Mike Denver, a bit of Derek Ryan, and that would usually, you know, help her emotions. But for some reason, it didn't help this time. So I popped on the replay. I put on the 1987 Hurling Final, so it was Galway versus Kilkenny. Of course, the bitter Wexford woman in me, I had to make sure it was not Ireland that Kilkenny were going to lose. And I was completely stunned by her immediate reaction to it. She went from crying uncontrollably to just like a light switch. Who's playing? What's that match? And wow. I couldn't believe it. The scene was set so perfectly by Micheál and by the atmosphere that you could hear in the background, the roar of the crowd. The national anthem, Mam started singing along to it. And I was really struck by, you know, we all know how good Micheál's turn of phrase is and his beautiful way of describing things, but like he kept reiterating that it was the 1987 All-Ireland, and you know, it's as if he knew that we were going to use his work in this way, especially for dementia patients. So I've only tried it once and it's worth the treat. So, I mean, we're very grateful for this resource, for it to be there. and for it to be readily available. And I think what's important about the website itself is that it's easily usable. It's dementia friendly. So, you know, for people like my father, who mightn't be great at the old technology, he'll easily be able to navigate it. Of course, it's in its early days. There's only a set amount of matches on it. But I really do hope that it continues to build and be funded, because there's so much potential for a resource like this. Like, at the moment, it's just Micheál's commentary and mostly All-Ireland finals, hurling and football. We need a bit of camogie. We need a bit of ladies football in there too. So there's enormous potential for it. And we could also tap into it at a local level. So you could have your Weishi Fogarty's, your Tim and Ambrose. You know, there's so much out there. We have the technology, we have the archives now. So I think it'd be great if the GA could continue to build on that.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Siobhan. I couldn't agree anymore. Look, unfortunately, we're out of time. Look, I wish your mother all the health in the world. It sounds like, you know, something like this, it's so new to all of us, and we're able to kind of get on and use the technology now for a good reason. And it's great we can use Micheál's voice for that. Siobhan, thanks very much for sharing your story. Absolute pleasure, Garmagut, Siobhan. Unfortunately, we're totally out of time for the programme this evening. Thanks to Niamh, who produced, Liam and John, and all on the replay. You can find more on that service. It's thereplay.ie. Mary Conroy is up next.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sport.